Hi everybody, I'm Bob, a compulsive overeater.
Hi,
Hi everybody. So this topic is about unity. And I always need to remember, and I'll say this for myself and for you too, that I'm responsible for the action, but God is responsible for the outcome. So we need to let go of anything that is blocking us from Him today. So the topic is unity. So the first tradition is our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. And the first thing I want to read is what's in our meeting format that's on the OA website. Is that it says, as we extend the heart and hand of fellowship to those who still suffer, let us be mindful of OA's unity with diversity policy, which respects our differences, yet unites us in the solution to our common problem. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome at this meeting. I'm sure many of you have heard that, you know. But that is, it mentions a unity with diversity policy. And until yesterday, I hadn't read that unity with diversity policy. I'm not going to share that with you because Lauren's going to share that with you a little bit later. But basically, you know, we all have a common bond. And what we spent so much time before program, at least I did, about focusing on myself. All I did was self. Self-centered. You know, my day surrounded how I was going to get, you know, my next fix. My next food binge. My next fix. My next way of thinking about myself. It didn't matter if I was single, or I was married, with children. All times of my life, that's just the way that I was. I was so self-centered that was just my way of life. When I came into my first meeting, and it was a wonderful meeting, mostly women. There was a couple of guys there. I couldn't believe, I had always had trouble with relationships, especially with the opposite sex. So it was amazing that I walked into a room and met 20 women that I connected with almost immediately. And that's not, again, not like me. But I had nowhere else to go. I was totally defeated. I felt like, you know, a snake crawling on the ground. I couldn't get any lower than dirt. And that was a blessing to me because I was willing to accept anything that came along. So when 20 women in a room that I had a hard time, I thought I would have a hard time connecting with, I was able to break through that, that I was able to listen and to hear my story being shared. There was a lot of power in that for me. Because I was able to embrace that and say, this OA is something different about it. Yeah, there really is something different about it. So that was amazing. Because when I thought I was going to an OA meeting, I was just waiting for the dime to drop where they're going to ask me for something like $1,000 or something for a contribution. I was waiting because that's the way I kind of am. I was like, there's something wrong with this. Just not. I can't really let go and believe that this is so good. You know, and there's nothing, you know, that there's no catch to this. Because there was always a catch in everything that I tried. So there was no catch to this. So the unity that I found in the rooms, the fellowship, the camaraderie, was just so amazing. It was just so amazing to take that in and just soak it in. So what the people told me when I went into the rooms was that we will love you until you can love yourself. Like, how is that possible? You don't even know me. But they did. They knew my disease, and they knew what I was going through, and that was enough. I didn't love myself, and I couldn't love them until I did find that love. So I realized that other people were very, very kind in the rooms. And they did truly love me without any conditions, with no conditions attached. which was, again, hard to believe because I was waiting for something. You do this for me, then I'll do that for you. And that wasn't the attitude that I got in program. You know, the fact that I could walk into a room and share, when I got the courage to, share my deepest, darkest secrets and know that they weren't going to go anywhere, that there was this thing called anonymity, which I didn't really understand, but what I said here was going to stay here. Wow, I'm used to people backstabbing me and using that against me, you know, in the real world. Knowing that I could say anything that I needed to and get it off my chest and know that somebody's not going to go back and tell my friend or that I was talking about or my wife or whoever it was, knowing that I had such a safe haven was so meaningful to me. So that, you know, all of these things that I'm sharing are the blessing of this program and how we can unite. So we are all different. There's no doubt about it. But you know what? We're all compulsive overeaters and, you know, compulsive eaters, I should say. And we're all food addicts in one way, shape, or form. We all have addictions. And I have many addictions, and I've learned what they are. And I'm grateful that I can share offline, you know, what other people are going through, you know, with their different addictions, because I found more and they keep cropping up. So as I find more, I have a program that I can work them through the steps too. Even though they may not be food related, they do affect me and they affect my food. Eventually they will if I let them, you know. So while it may not be my primary addiction, it certainly is something that I need to work on all the time. So I'm grateful that we have a program we can share a lot of things about ourselves, because you never know what you're going to share you have a problem with that someone else can relate to. So that's something I really, really enjoy about our program. And there's nowhere else that I can find that. So the sense of belonging when I walked into the room, the acceptance was amazing. And it says in the 12 and 12 on page 109, there is the bond. They talk about the bond. It satisfies us in ways that food never could. And how is that possible? Because food was everything to me. You know, but here I am. I now have a common bond with you that is more powerful than food. So when I read that, that was pretty amazing, that there is something more powerful than food, because food was my God, you know. It was my best friend, my closest friend, who I turned to. So now I have something else. And I think when I walked into the rooms, I needed that, because I needed to hear that there was something more powerful than food, because, you know, if you don't think there's anything more powerful than something, you're eventually going to go back to that for what you need. And now I found that I have something else, whether if it's, you know, I didn't know what it was yet, it was brand new, but that sliver of hope that there was something else that I could go to rather than food, wow, that was big for me. And to know, again, in that meeting when there was 20 women, and I'm a man and I related to men, especially at that time, to know that we're all the same and I could connect with a woman, That was a big breakthrough for me, you know, to know that whether we are a man or a woman, we all have the same disease. Right now I have sponsees who are women, and I would never have thought that before, you know, but it's the same disease. There's no difference between men and women at this point when you're talking about unity. There really isn't, you know, because we have so much in common. Yeah, we might have different food plans, but what does it really matter when it comes to the steps? Are the steps, aren't they? You know, the steps are what we have to work through. And while I may not have the same past as you do, or work the same food plan, we all are working the same steps. The steps don't change, you know. So we just need to work them through, and we can work them together. I found a definition that I want to read you of addiction. And this was on the back of one of my notes. I didn't even bring this, and I saw it there last night. I was like, you know what, this is so amazing. Addiction is a noun The state of being enslaved to a habit or practice or to something that is psychologically or physically habit-forming. So it's both psychological and physical. To such an extent that its cessation causes severe trauma. So when I was dieting, trying to get away from this habit, more than a habit, and I love the word enslaved, the cessation of that caused severe trauma. Now without OA, I couldn't deal with that. I couldn't deal with that trauma. So now with OA, I have a place where I can share all of that pain. The pain of even letting go of the food. You know, some place to go to share that, because, you know, it's not just putting the food down is the repercussions of that. You know, the disease, you know, and the poisons that I'm trying to get the toxins out of me. You know, when I was doing that, it's so easy to turn right back to it. But now, knowing that there are other people in the room that don't want to put that poison in their body anymore, that meant so much to me. So that's what the fellowship was for me when I first came into program. What I found was unity is so much more than that, you know. But that is what got me into the rooms and kept coming back. You know, I kept coming back for that reason. It's funny, I isolated so much and I couldn't relate to people. Relationships were so big, you know, and with my problems. So what makes me think when I get into the rooms that I'm not ever going to have a disagreement with anybody? You know? I had a trouble with relating, and I don't know if any of you did, but with relationships. So you got in disagreements, you got in arguments. So when you get in the rooms, there's going to be disagreements. But that's why I love the unity with diversity policy, is that, you know what, we can be different and we can coexist and we can still love each other. We may not necessarily agree what each of us say, but eventually we're all here for the same purpose, right? So if we focus on that, if we focus on recovery, then nothing else should block us. So that's what's beautiful about unity, is that if we really focus on what really matters. You know, all of us are different. Our groups are different. We can have a group conscious meeting. We can have a business meeting. We can change our meeting format. We can add this, we can add that, as long as it doesn't affect OA as a whole or break our principles or break our traditions. So that is beautiful. You know, we can have, we can add little things like, you know, no crosstalk. I mean, we can add little things to our meeting format, that are positive pitches, you know, is something that we added in our, that we encourage you to do positive pitches. And if you can't do that, you know, we encourage you to talk to someone after the meeting so that we may care for you. There are wonderful things that we can add to our meeting formats by group conscience. So we need each other's support. We need inspiration. You know, we need opportunities to be of service to each other. And that's why I love different meetings too, because if you go to different meetings, you'll see some people have a greeter, some people have a speaker getter, some have, you know, someone who takes care of the literature, someone who sets up the chairs. There's all different type of service positions. And, you know, without those service positions, I don't know that I would have kept coming back. I really needed the group support. And I needed service to get me, you know, entrenched into a taking ownership. So I took ownership in a meeting, and that's what I needed to do. So, you know, as I got to meet more and more people, I found that we're all have, you know, different, you know, backgrounds, different pasts. We all have different food plans too. You know, I went to a doing different levels of service. I went to a region assembly. I've been to several now. I've been to World Service Business Conference, and I'm going out to eat with these other people. And I work a HAL program, and I bring a scale, and I'm sitting next to somebody and somebody else, and they eat everything, you know? And I'm like, wow, you eat that? I'm thinking in my head, you know, automatically start to judge them. But you know what? Who am I to judge? It's working for them. So that I just had to stop and say, you know, they're not, you know, my food plan isn't perfect. It, you know, it just works for me. You know, whether you're how or you're not how, that was the key for me, was just realizing, you know what, they're getting what they need. You know what, and food aside, they're working the steps. If they're working the steps and they're moving toward recovery, there's no way that there's anything wrong with that. So I had to actually, you know, think about that more and more. I was like, because what's great about how for me is I get structure. I need that structure. But the person next to me may not need the same thing. You know, I need the ability to rely on a food plan that may seem strict to people who, especially outside of OA, but even in OA, you know. I need to be able to say that, you know, I can't have this and that and that. But it isn't that I can't have it. I know that if I put that in my body, that I'm going to react totally different. You know, I have an allergy to food. I have an allergy to sugar and flour specifically. So I realize that, and I realize that that isn't everybody. But they may have binge foods that I eat, you know. So that's the other thing, is that who knows what they have. You know, I said something simple like to somebody one time, is like, you know what, they have a sale at a grocery store for grapes this weekend. And I was new to the program, and I said, well, that would be a great thing to tell somebody, right? And they said, you know what, I have a problem with grapes. I said, really? Okay. So I need to realize that, you know, when we come in the program and we make our list of binge foods, who knows what that person's binge food is? It could be anything, you know. So we all are different, but we're all the same. And the less I focus on food and the more I focus on recovery, the better that I am. So how is different. You know, there is freedom for me in weighing and measuring that is, you know, beyond what I ever thought it would be. It was just, it's something that I definitely need to do because my eyeballs are broken. You know, I absolutely. In our how meeting, we used to have an eyeball. You know, that's, you know, we do a little eyeball. And the eyeball, you know, it just was a reminder that, you know, that your eyes are broken. And so that is, you know, I can't you do the fist thing, that doesn't work for me. I can always make my fist a little bit bigger. So I needed to trust that the scale was what I needed to do, and it does. You know, and the freedom that comes with that for those who don't weigh and measure or are thinking about it, you know, maybe a little bit unsure. The ability to breathe and say, you know what, this is all that I need, and it's the right amount. It's not more, not less. And I don't need to second guess myself. My head doesn't have to start going crazy after, because I would eat and I would start saying, I don't think I got quite enough. I'm going to get a little bit more. And that little bit more went off. I would start eating and eating and eating. This was before program. So that's why the scale for me was like, you know what, head? Sorry, that scale ain't lying. You know, that scale is, and so even when I think it's too much food, because it's funny, you can wait, look exactly, I weighed it out, one day it could look too much, the next day it'll look like not enough. But I know that it's the right portion because I know it's all in my head otherwise. So that's why weighing and measuring works for me. That's just what I need to do though. And I have sponsees now who are not how, you know. And what's amazing with our meeting back home, we only have one how meeting in our South Jersey intergroup. We have about 32 meetings, I think, and only one is a how meeting. And I got blessed with a how sponsor. Go figure. What are the odds? Like one out of 32, and how many people I meet one, I meet a how sponsor, right? So, but, you know, God has his reasons, and that's why it happened. But our how meeting is pretty incredible. It's not large. It's funny. It used to be 100 people. There used to be 100 people in the sponsor line, I was told. I have a hard time believing that. But you know what? Possibly. They were standing around the room, and that's what I heard. And this was about 15 years ago. Well, you know what? I wasn't around 15 years ago, but I am here now. And a meeting is wonderful no matter who's there. You know, it's a speaker meeting, and there are so many people who don't do how who come to that meeting because it's a great meeting. It's a great speaker meeting. You know, and it is. You know, we have rules at that meeting by group conscience that there's only a how person who has 45 or more days of abstinence who leads the meeting and speaks at the meeting. But you know what? That's it. As far as if you come to the meeting, you can share at that meeting, and if you're not, OA. So that's what's key for me, is that, you know, no matter what meeting you're at, you know, and there's a lot of different types of special focus, and that's what how is called, a special focus meeting. You know, there's 90-day meetings, there are 100-pounders meetings, there's gay and lesbian meetings, they're all special focus. But if you know what, if you go to any of those, and there's some men's meetings too. If you go to any of those meetings, a woman can go to a men's meeting. We had that in our area too. If you need a meeting, you go to a meeting. There are no exclusions here. And everyone is able to speak at every single meeting. And that's what OA offers all of us. You know, there is no separation. You know, and that is what's great. Page 110 of our 12 and 12 says, we as members need to value the common welfare of the fellowship over our personal viewpoints. That simply means to me principles over personalities. Leave our egos at the door. You know, accept each other, not try to fix each other. You know, and that's they're the things that I learned in program, is that we can have our differences. You know what I found was that there are some problem people in every intergroup, in every meeting, you know, and I don't want to call them problem people, but what I call them is somebody who is so passionate about program that they focus on program so much. They may not express themselves the best way. They don't, you know. So I pull out my kid gloves, whereas other people kind of turn their back on those people. I pull out my kid gloves and I say, and I listen. And I say, you know what? I'm so glad you're here. Because you care about so much about OA that you're willing to go to any lengths. And you're willing to express how you feel. And other people say, I can't, how can you deal with that person? I said, you know what? They're here. They're in the rooms. They're doing a ton of service. And they care so much about program. So embrace that. And that's what I try to do, is embrace that person. Because it's so easy to say, you know what? I'm not listening to you. But if I do listen, I can get something out of that. And I go up and I'm a hugger. So I'll go up and hug that person. And maybe that's what they needed today. Maybe that'll break down whatever barrier that they have and get out of what is so good in them. So that's what that we can do. At your meetings, look at doing, if you're not doing them already, look at doing strong meeting checklists. And do you have a strong meeting? That's on the OA website. If you haven't visited the OA website, there's a ton of information there. Do a group inventory. It's a way that you can, you know, encourage people's opinions and also encourage them to participate in whatever service that your group decides that you should be having that you're not providing now. That's a great thing to do. Have regular business meetings at the group levels, you know, and schedule them and have them. There's a lot of people after your meeting, I'm out the door. You know what? We need to have a business meeting and stress it. It's only going to be a couple minutes, and we need to talk about certain things. It's important to do that, to keep everybody focused on the service part of your at each level. And don't be afraid to do service. And it's an amazing thing. Volunteer to do service. You know, I volunteered to do our intergroup website, because that's how I found OA. I found OA on a website. So it was so near and dear to my heart when I got to the intergroup level. My sponsor encouraged me to come to intergroup. That's how I got to intergroup. And when I saw there was a vacancy at the intergroup level for a website chair, I took a one-day class on how to do a website, and I was the most experienced person in the room. But you know what? That was okay. I learned that's maybe something I could try doing. Now I find out that if you are interested in doing a website for either your intergroup or for your group, they just created a oagroups.org at World Service. So, and our region has a region email loop, and we always email each other. It's a great way to keep information flowing. Anybody go to World Service Business Conference? If you've ever been to any type of gathering where you vote on motions and bylaws, it's an unbelievable thing. But you know what? You really have to set things aside at those, because you really have to say, what am I doing here? I'm here for OA as a whole. We passed a ninth tool at World Service Business Conference. It's called Action Plan. It's not yet defined, but that vote was so close. It's like 90 to 82, I think, something like that. So what that means is that by a group majority, we came up with that. But it's for what OA, it's what's best for OA as a whole. And that's what we have to keep thinking about when we do any type of business, in OA. And that one person in at some of the meetings that I was at, I was at what's called a reference subcommittee, and we were going back and forth. She stated her opinion, I stated mine. We just couldn't come together. But you know what? We walked away still with unity, that we could still respect each other's differences, even though we didn't agree. We walked away as friends, loving, caring, tolerant. And that was so important for me to have. Because that person was never going to agree with my point of view, doesn't really matter. But we're both abstinent, and we both care about this program so much that we'll give our time toward it. So, I think that will wrap up Unity. So thank you for letting me share on that.